Okay, Ramban Parshas Mishpatim. So the Parsha begins with Eila Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim, that you must go, if you have a court case between two Yidden, you must go in front of a Beis Din. You cannot go to Erkos, you can't go to Gaisha courts. Even if the Gaisha courts are going to follow the Jewish system, it doesn't matter. You must go before a Beis Din. Not only that, says the Ramban, that you also have to go, even if you're doing a private case, I mean, you're not going to an official Beis Din, you're going to kind of like an arbitration. You're going to have someone paskin the shaila for you. So you can't have a private, you can't go to a nachri. You can go to a yid, meaning if the two parties both agree that they don't want to go to the Beis Din, they're just going to go to the Rav, and the Rav's going to decide for them, and you can do that with a yid. You cannot do that with a guy. You can't have a guy paskin for you a case. It can only be a yid. But anyway, but the general case is you go to in front of a Beis Din. That's the Ramban says, because that's the beginning. It's Parsha begins with, but really the Parsha begins with the next pasuk is the first mishpat is Eved Ivri. And why in the world do we start the halachas of mishpatim with Eved Ivri? So the Ramban asks this question, and his answer is that because it's a super chashuv mitzvah, the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. Why is that? Because there's all kinds of zecher letzias mitzrayim, and zecher like very shabbistic. Why? Because the Eved Ivri, as we know, works for 6 years, and on the seventh year he goes free, just like the 6 days that Hashem worked into the world and something, but you know, like Shabbos. There's also, if you keep the Eved for the Yovel, so then you also have the 7 times 7. You have that Indian of Shabbos, and the 50th day they go free. So, 50th year, rather. So you have some Shabbos Ramazim, and also, just like in Shabbos, you also have a Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, even though in Mishpatim it doesn't mention it, but it's in Dvarim. A Sefer Tvarim mentions by when it has the parallel Parsha. It's in Perek Tes Vav. And where is it? Pasuk? Tes. Also Pasuk. Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav. In Dvarim, it mentions this parallel Parsha about Eved Ivri and says, and when you let him go, you have to give him presents called Hanukkah. And it says there, because you have to remember you're an Eved in Mitzrayim and Hashem let you free. So he says, it's a Royal Hakta Masoshi Nichbedes Meod Romezes Dvarim Gedolim B'Maisa Brachos. This is a more of a chash of a mitzvah than you might have thought. It's a Nichbedes Meod, and it's Romez to big things and Maisa Brachos. Okay. Then we have the halacha now, and if you have a Eved Ivri, so the owner has to support the wife and kids of the Eved. And the Ramban just mentions that the what about the work that the wife does? Like if when a man's married, so the Maisi Adayim, his wife's works, go to the husband, assuming the husband is supporting the wife, then the whatever work the wife does, the money goes to the husband. So what happens if the husband becomes an Eved Ivri? So then he says that the owner becomes like the husband, that her Maisi Adayim go to the owner, because the owner supports her. Okay, and then finally, the probably more famous thing to us is if the Eved Ivri wants to stay after his 6 years are up, he can, but he's got to get his ear pierced. In the Dor Higish, so the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Vav, Higishoa Adonav El HaElohim, Higishoa Ladel Es O'al HaMezozah. So you have to bring him to the Beis Din, and then you poke the hole in the ear up against the door. Okay, but it refers to Beis Din as HaElohim. Higishoa Adonav El HaElohim. Why is Beis Din referred to HaElohim? So, the Ramban, we've spoken about this already last bunch of parshios, but about that word. But the reason why a Beis Din is referred to that is because Hashem is always at a Beis Din. That's what he says. Meaning Hashem's Shechina is there. And whatever the Beis Din decides, God is on their side. That is to say, if a Beis Din has a court case and they say Reuven, they paskin that Reuven killed Shimon and Reuven needs to be killed. Let's say we find out after Reuven's dead that people come in and say, hey, you know those witnesses who said that Reuven killed Shimon, they were liars. So does that mean that the Beis Din did a bad thing? Nope, because the Shechina is by a Beis Din. And if Beis Din, which requires 23, had someone killed, it means Hashem wanted that man killed. Meaning the Shechina is always by a Beis Din. So that's why they're called V'Gishua Adonav V'Al HaElohim. Because Hashem is always by a Beis Din, he makes sure that there's Siyata Deshmaya and the right judgment comes out regardless, which is something to keep in mind when you go to with a Beis Din, that they're whether the court, whether they were right or wrong, Hashem's on their side. meaning Hashem will make it that they say the right thing, whether the patient knows it or not. Okay, then we have the story of if a lady becomes a female slave, a Jewish female slave, Amma Yivriya. So then there's this thing called Yud, which is that the owner is supposed to marry her. And if he does, and he takes some other wife, so for this slave girl that he married, he has still owes her a share ksus and ona. What is share ksus and ona? So Rashi says share is mazonos, that you have to support her. So again, share is mazonos, ksus is clothes, onosa is tashmish. Anyway, the Ramban has a big problem. Share cannot mean mazonos because these are the daraisa dinim that every husband has to do for their wife, and mazonos is not a din daraisa. So rather, he says share is physical cure of basar, physical closeness. And ksus is a, like blankets and pillows. And then ona is tashmish. And he says that the Torah is emphasizing this because it's a slave girl. And you might have treated her terribly. That you would just, with your wife, you'd have her on a nice bed and always with her. And with the slave girl, she's like a zona that sleeps on the floor and you're only with her once in a great while. So Hashem wanted her to be taken care of. So yes, I treat her like a wife. Then we have the halachas. If one hits a person, gets in a fight with another person, they hits them, and they get they almost die. So if they can get up and walk around, so then he just has to pay for his shevis and his refuah. So just the Ramban, it's a Gemara, but the Ramban just brings in. It's just an interesting thing that when you owe someone medical bills because you beat them up, so now you have to pay for their medical bills. Rapo your pay means you only pay the doctor. It's not like you pay the guy, because the guy can't say to you, okay, give me money and I'll go to the... You owe me money as if I'm going to the doctor. I'll decide if I go to the doctor. Meantime, you pay me the money that you owe me as if I'm going to the doctor. No. You only have to pay the doctor directly. If the guy doesn't go to the doctor, he's not entitled to the money. Okay, I'm just mentioning that because the Ramban mentions that. Then we have another interesting thing. In Pasuk Chav Tes, this is the Ramban's own idea. It says that if you have a shore... That's an ox that gored three times, and it kills a person. So hashor yisakel v'gamba alav yumas. So the shor gets skila, and even the owners die. What does that mean? Die? It means misa b'dei shamayim. So the Ramban just points out that whenever you find misa's based in, it says mos yumas. If it's just misa b'dei shamayim, then just yumas. Bet you didn't know that. Right, that's the way you know. If it says you must, it means misa b'nei shemayim. Most you must means misa in based in. He says there are exceptions, but anytime there's an exception, the Torah said so explicitly, like anytime it says you must, and it means based in, then the pasuk will say black on white, kill him. But if it just says you must, and the Torah doesn't say explicitly to kill him physically, so then it means in based in. And then rather, misi b'dei shemayim, if it just says you must. And we have the pasuk, the famous pasuk for anyone who's been in yeshivas, about modem mixas. That's in Perek Chaf Beis, pasuk ches, where it says, ki tein ishayahu kesef akilim lishmor. We're talking about you, someone gave you a pikadon, and you are a shomer. So if it's im yimatzei ganav yishalem shnayim, if they don't find the ganav, so then the shomer has to come to Beis Din, kol dvar pesha, kol aveda sheyomar ki huzeh, and that means if you're modem miktas, then you swear. So just the issue that the Ramban says is we know this is the modem miktas gemara pasuk, right? The thing is, a shomer doesn't do this. I mean, these psukim are talking about a shomer chinah, a shomer. So, if a shomer says something was stolen or whatever, so even if he says that it was all stolen and therefore I don't owe you anything, he still has to swear. Modem miktas is not by a shomer. Shomers always have to swear. So the only exception, the Ramban, because Rashi says that's what it's talking about, and the Ramban says no, it's not true. There is no modem miktas by a shomer. Anytime a shomer says it was completely stolen from me, and I don't owe you anything, you still have to swear. So he has to. The Ramban says you have to say we're talking about where the shomer says If the shomer says, you never gave anything to me to start with, I am not a shomer. You never gave me anything. That's a kofar kol that you don't swear by. There it has to be, you have to be moved to miktas that I was given something and it's half gone. I mean, I was given something and it's gone. Whatever, that's the moved to miktas that I was given something. Or if he says, I was given half, then he has to swear. But that's the kofar, that's the moed miktas kofar kol, meaning, I don't know if I said that clearly. If he denies that he was given anything, then he's kofar b'kol, does not need to swear. If he admits he was given something, or even if he admits he was given half of what was said he was given, then he'll have to swear. And the next psukim, tell you about it, by a shomer sachar. So by the shomer sachar, if something was stolen, he does need to pay. Right, the first parasha was shomer chinam, this is shomer sachar. So by the Shomer Sachar, it says, "Im terof teraf yivyehu eid hatrifale yishalim." So by the Shomer Sachar, if it was stolen, he has to pay. If it was nitraf, then he doesn't have to pay, meaning if it was attacked by a wild animal, then he doesn't have to pay. So if that's the pshat, "Im terof teraf yivyehu eid," and Rashi says that means what it sounds like, that you have to bring an edim, that it was nitraf, then and there was an onus, then the guy's putter. Why do you need, so the Ramban asks, what do you need Eidim for? I don't need Eidim by Shomer. Shomer Sachar just has to say, I didn't do it. You know, it wasn't, you know, it was an onus. He just has to swear. You don't need an aid. Why would you need an aid? So, one possibility is he was Dibur Behova, meaning when if your sheep's getting caught by wild animals, you probably screamed. I mean, if there's a lion eating your sheep, you probably screamed and people came. Or it's like going like fits with Isi ben Yehuda, who says that if there were witnesses, then you can't swear. If we know people saw it, then you can't swear. You have to call it. You have to get the witnesses. Fine. Then we go on to Pitui. So we say if someone is Mefata, seduces a Basula, and he's with her, so then he has to marry her, assuming she's interested. If she's not interested in marrying him, so then he has to pay kimoher habasulos. Okay, so again, if you seduce a lady, so then you have to pay the father, again, assuming she's a nara, you have to pay the father 50 shekels. So the Ramban explains that the word pitui, seduction, really means hatayas rotzon b'sheker. The word b'sheker that kind of surprised me, that it's seduction was with lies. You try to convince someone by lying to them. That's the pitui. So the Ramban explains that this chamishim kesef that you pay is because by making her that she's no longer a basula, so nobody's going to want, the bachrim are not going to want to marry her. And therefore, the father will have to give a higher dowry, and that's what you're paying for. You're paying for the law, you know, the fact that the father has to pay the higher dowry. Now, this is a little bit different than a anusa. By an anusa, you must marry her, assuming she wants to marry you. But here, you don't have to marry her. And why? Because here, this is all just dibur behova. So, in other words, the Torah is coming to fix what it thinks is what is a likely issue. So who are you likely to try to seduce? So you have this young man. He wants to try to seduce this young lady. So we're not going to make him have to marry her like we do by anusa, by a rape, because he or she sinned too. Right, she was seduced, but she didn't have a gun to her brain, so she did sin. She did part of the sin too. So we're not going to force him to marry her, but he's still going to have to pay a knas because he seduced her, which is apparently told her lies to get her to be with him. And it's to pay back the father. But we're not going to force him to marry her because she sinned too. And we're not going to force her to marry him because that'd be a choti nisker. He seduces a lady, then we had the Torah force him to get married. That would not work either. So there's just the knas. But by an anusa, the Ramban describes who's usually the type to be ma'anis. He said the rich, the higher class, sees some peasant girl who he thinks has no recourse. He's more likely to be ma'anis her. So we say, guess what, buddy? If you're ma'anis some lady, you have to marry her. She's now your wife for life, and you can't divorce her. That's you know, it's not always easy for understand us in our culture why this would ever happen. Meaning, if you're ma'aneh someone, we would assume the girl would have no interest in marrying him. And if she doesn't want to marry him, she definitely doesn't have to. But in former times where being married was also financial, so she might feel that if she's raped, nobody's going to marry her. So not only does this guy, who's likely some higher class guy who's marrying someone who he thinks has no recourse, he's going to be stuck marrying her forever. So he's going to be supporting her for the rest of his life, and she's going to be married to her, so that's going to try to, so we're trying to convince him not to do this. What's the most fascinating about all this is that this is only by an ara, right? By a bogeris, there's no knas, not even for rape. Not so clear, obviously it's a gzeiras hakasav, but the Ramban just says, he says it's a gzeiras hakasav. He gives a little bit of an explanation to the gzeiras hakasav because when she's older, she's less likely to have this kind of onus. Remember, the Torah is, you know, this is me, Gutterman, speaking. The Torah is written for a holy society. Meaning, well, this is the Ran says, again, the Ran in Drashos says that that's the purpose of a king, because the Torah is given, like, you know, if you're dealing with a low-class society, so then you're not going to have two witnesses giving hasra to someone. If you have a murderer walking around, and the only way to stop him is if two people warn him before they murder, he murders, and he says, yes, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Murder would be rampant. So the Torah is written for a holy nation that doesn't have this problem. And, you know, we need to warn someone who's maybe going to be otherwise caught in a fit of passion. But just stop a serial killer, like, the Torah wasn't written for bad societies. For that, we have a king. I mean, part of the Torah is to take care of that. The Ran says that we have a king who's supposed to make secular laws. It's similar here. What do you mean? We're not expecting people to go around raping randomly. Torah's not written for that. There, maybe you need for that for a king too, to stop, to have a police force. We're talking about a holy society, so someone would just think they could get away with something, so we'll make him have a knas. He won't do it. And if she's over, if she's not a young lady, it's not going to happen to her anyway. She'll stand up for herself. Okay, so it's just, but at the end of the day, it's gzeiras hakasav. Then we have witches. Witches have to be killed. Why is that? Because the Ramban says, Hashotim niftim achareya. Fools get caught up with her. So does that have to mean the Ramban didn't believe in magic? I'm not sure about that. But I guess he thought the average witch was baloney. Okay, now we have another classic Ramban, fitting with all the other Rambans. In Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, Zaveich l'Elohim yacharam. If you shecht a carbon to Elohim, so then yacharam, the guy gets killed. So, and then the end of the Pasuk, Bilti l'Hashem levado, only to Hashem. Says again the Ramban, l'shitaso. When we say this kind of thing, we mean malachim. Yishechting, that's what Zaveich l'Elohim means. It means yishechting to malachim. So that's not acceptable. Bilti l'Hashem levado. It's only to Hashem, like you keep saying. When we say that lashon, it means malachimala, angels in heaven. Like it says, Ein kamocha b'Elohim Hashem. Right? There's no one amongst you, amongst there's no Elohim like you. That means there's no heavenly powers like you. Yishtachavu lo kol Elohim. All these things mean angels. Okay. And again, it says, Bilti l'Hashem levad, only to God, because people think by worshipping angels, it's a way of worshipping Hashem. So Hashem says, that, no, don't do that. Only worship Hashem directly. Okay, the next pasuk says, is don't be nasty to a ger. Why? Now, this is great. Pasuk says, don't be not nice to a ger. Ger shalos and sonav lo sechatzenu. Why? Ki gerim hayisim berim smiritzraim. Because you used to be gerim too. So Rashi says, really quoting a Gemara, Mum Shabachal Tom Lachavercha. In other words, you used to also be Gerim back in the day, so don't make fun of us that we're a Gerim. So this is a Gemara, but the Ramban says he doesn't like this. And he says a totally different shot than you've probably ever heard. If you don't remember this Ramban anyway. So the Ramban says, don't be not nice to a Ger, because you're a Gerim in Mitzrayim, but what happened to you? Hashem saved you from the bad oppressors. That's going to happen to you too. It's not saying, because again, it bothers most people. For all of eternity, you're going to tell someone, don't make fun of a ger, because you used to be a ger. I personally, whatever. I didn't used to be a ger. My great-great-grandfathers used to be a ger. How does that apply to me? Anyway, the Ramban is saying, it doesn't mean that. It means, when it says Gigerim Hayisim B'Mitzrayim, it doesn't mean Mum Shebchal Tom Rechavrecha. It means Hashem is going to go after you. Just like when you were Gerim in Mitzrayim, Hashem went after your oppressors, Hashem's going to go after this guy's oppressors too. And by the way, why is that? Why did Hashem go after the people who oppressed the Jews in Mitzrayim? Because Hashem takes mercy on the people who are being oppressed. So you should be scared. If that guy, if you're oppressing someone who's downtrodden, Hashem will hear their cries. And I'm not really sure what he does with the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't even say like Rashi. But, okay, I don't know. And then similarly, you have a few psukim later, Pasuk Chavav, it says that don't, you know, if you take a mashkon, you have to give it back at the appropriate times. Don't take things you're not allowed to take. And if this is his only stuff, don't take his mashkon. Or whatever, there are certain things you can't take as a mashkon. And if he cries out, v'shamati ki chanun ani, if he cries out to me, I will listen to him because I am chanun. Rabban says the same thing again. Hashem listens to the tefillah of people. You don't need to be, even if a person is not a tzaddik, if he cries out with a full heart, Hashem listens to him. As it says, ki chanunani, from like matnas chinam. Hashem will listen to the cries of a person crying out sincerely. Oh, good to remember when you're davening. If you cry out sincerely, Hashem will listen to you, even if you're not roy. Okay, now just in Lamdas, in Parakhav Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, is something a little hard to understand, but it's an important thing said. It says, B'chol asher amarti lachem tishamero. Everything I told you, tishamero. Now we know alav is hamer, hishamer pen va'al, right? Hishamer means alav. And Rashi says that this pasuk of B'chol asher amarti lachem tishamero, that makes it that now every mitzvah in the Torah now becomes a los aseh. All the aseis now become los aseis because it says tishamero. B'chol asher amarti lachem tishamero. So that leaves a lot of problems. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban says, so I guess it's a lav shebecholos, which you don't get malchus for, a lav that includes many different averos. So, because you don't get malchus, obviously, for every assay. So it must be that this lav includes so many things, therefore it's you don't get malchus. That's all the Ramban says. I mean, there are other things, if you know. You have to give up all your money for a lav. We don't find that by an assay. So does this literally mean every lav is a los assay? It can't be that. So I'm not exactly sure what it means, but in some way every assay is really also a los assay because of this pasuk. But he brings also that a hishamer of an assay is an assay. So if you say it like that, so then okay, then we're just back to giving everything assays. Okay, now I've done with Mishpatim it's Parshas Mishpatim, but with that, those are very technical, all the laws. Then we have Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach Lefanecha. Hashem tells Moshe he's going to be sending a Malach to go with Bnei Israel. This is a big angel, Shmo Kishem Rabo, and the Klai Yisrael is told that they're going to sin, and therefore Hashem sends this malach. Anyway, Moshe was able to get rid of the malach, that Hashem should be the one, Hashem directly should be the one leading Klal Yisrael until Yehoshua came. Once Moshe died and Yehoshua was leading the people, then the malach came again to be the leader, to lead Klal Yisrael in the Derech, in the Midbar, rather. No, I'm sorry, in Eretz Yisrael. Originally he came in the Midbar, Moshe got rid of him, and then this malach came back in the times of Yehoshua. But it is the same malach, says the Ramban, that protected the Avos too. He brings a medrash that says, "Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach," that Hashem says, "Whoever watched the Avo should watch the Banim," because Avram said to Yitzchak, "Hu Yishlach Malachol Lefanecha." By Yaakov it says, "Hamalach Goel Asimi Korah." This is all the same Malach. The same Malach. Okay, now we have something very fascinating towards the end of the parasha. It says, "Vayishlach Esnari Bnei Yisrael Vayalu." Olos, right? This is when Moshe went back up the mountain. So it says, he wrote, Kol Divri Hashem, and he got up in the morning, and Vayishlach Asnari Ben Yisrael Vayal Olos, they brought Olos, Vizbuch Hazav Yachim Shlamim Lashem Parim. They bought bulls. As if to say, like, that was a thing. This is what they decided to bring, bulls. Sounds like that anyway. So Rashi says, it's the Bechors, and they were bringing bulls. So the Rabban says that the whole time they were in the Midbar, the Jews were very afraid of Midas Adin. I guess it's a Midas Adin type of place, the desert, and they were afraid of Midas Adin. And the par, the cow, is a remez to Midas Adin. So the Rabban will tell us later, and he hints to it here too, that they made the golden calf. It was an image of the par, which is that Midas Adin, the Sin Shemayim. Because again, if you worship it, offer it sacrifices, it will do something for you. Again, that is the idea of Avodah Zarah. It's not like the religion we think of today, where you have a faith and you worship a god. No, it was totally quid pro quo over there. And they felt that if you sacrifice to this god, to this Koach and Shemayim or whatever, so then it would help you. That's how they decided to do a Egel, which is a par, a young one. So it seems like what the Ramban is saying is that the Nari ben Israel that bought Parim to Hashem, Parim had to do with this Inyan of being Misakin or whatever this Midas Adin in the Midbar. And it says, Vayuchlu Vayishtu. That's in Pasuk Yod Aleph. Vayuchlu Vayishtu. Why did they eat and drink? So the Ramban says, because it was a Simcha V'yanta for him, because it was this man of Kabbalah Satorah. Whenever you have a man of Kabbalah Satorah, you have to have a simcha. As it says, also he says that when they wrote the Torah on the stones, it says, and it also says by Shlomo, when he got his chachma, he came to Yerushalayim and made a mishta l'chalavadav. And he quotes the Gemara, it says, mekan she'osin mishta l'gamra shel Torah. Make you see him, basically. When you have a Kabbalah Satorah, or apparently when you finish Torah, when you have, it's another way of having Torah. Either when you get the Torah, or when you've finished learning it, which is, you have it now. So when you get the Torah, so then you, or at least have learned it, then you have to eat. And this is a source for that. Vayuch leviyishtu, when they got the Torah, vayuch leviyishtu. So you make a see him after you finish.